Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen and oh boy, I am joined today by one of my favorite guests. It is Jonders. How you doing, man?
I'm doing fabulous. All the better for, you know, being on your podcast, Eric. I'm ready for the playoffs. Let's go, baby.
Yeah, I'm ready for playoffs too. I like your excitement, like your enthusiasm. It's contagious. How was your winter break? I mean, you aren't necessarily a student, but I feel like everyone has this kind of internal winter break from what, December like 18th to January 2nd. How was yours?
Well, this is the longest I've been away from my improv buddies since I started taking those classes. We were on a winter break there, so it is kind of like I'm a student. But really fun. One of my best friends flew in from Austin, got to hang out with him and his girlfriend for a couple days. It's a lot of fun. Also cheated on my diet for 3 days straight, so that's always fun.
Hey, man, I can't relate there. I've just started trying to get in the mood for fitness season. I've decided to cut soda out of my life and to go to the gym like twice a week, and thus far it's worked. 1 week into the year, I guarantee you this will fall apart quickly.
I've been drinking the Zevia stuff. You can get it at Whole Foods and some other grocery stores. It's a little more expensive, but it's basically just water. The cola is really good. I don't know. You should check it out, though, if you're still, because it has the caffeine in it, but it has no sugar and none of that other garbage.
Ooh.
Yeah,
Zevia?
Yeah.
Like with an X?
It's a Z-E-V-I-A.
Zevia. Well, shout out to Zevia.
Yeah, it's really good.
Come sponsor the podcast, Zevia, because we got some plugs ready for you. Well, how goes the... I mean, you are on, so we have to touch on the nerd shit, you know. How goes nerd lifestyle? By the way, I saw the Spider-Man movie. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought it was really well done.
This is a little bit of a spoiler for people who haven't seen it, but at the end of the movie when Miles is talking about, because up until then, all the different spider people jump in and say, I'm the one and only Spider-Man, I'm the one and only Spider-Woman, blah, blah, blah. But at the end, Miles is comfortable talking about how he knows he's not the only Spider-Man and that it'll help him feel not lonely. But I that's fine for that story beat, but that takes away from what Spider-Man I always like, because I feel like that's always below the surface, is that like with great power comes great responsibility, and people like who read Spider-Man comics or watch the movies or whatever think like, well, I'm not Spider-Man, so look, what power do I have? But everybody has responsibility up to their power threshold, so you know, everybody could wear the mask. And that's kind of like they say that at the end, anybody can wear the mask. And I think that's such an important beat to kind of just flat out say that like your responsibility is equal to your power, and you like everybody has power. So I was really happy with the kind of takeaway from that movie.
Wow. Way to just outshine me on a deepness level. I'm just here saying I kind of enjoyed this movie, and you've just were like, yeah, I thought this movie had a profound effect on society. So way to show me up. Good job.
I spent a lot of time thinking about Spider-Man, to be fair. Much more than okay. You or any reasonable human being could. I also have, I'm trying to count my Spider-Gwen. I have like Spider-Gwen Funko Pops and a piggy bank.
Yeah, 10. You're really into Spider-Gwen. I noticed that on your Instagram.
Yeah,
by the way, follow Jonders on Instagram.
On my Twitter, @JondersFBT, for the past 2 years or so, my location has been Earth 65, and that's where Spider-Gwen's from. So I've always had that kind of Spider-Gwen Easter egg on my Twitter account.
Ooh, very nice, very nice, very nice. Jonders is, at heart, a pure nerd, and I love him for it, because he has a broader view of the world than I do.
And that's kind of how forward pass thinking got started, because I grew up a nerd, and I did like watching Brett Favre and the Packers play growing up, but I always came at football with a nerd mentality, and that's kind of the idea of forward pass thinking, is like how to express football the way I intake it and kind of output the way I intake it for people. So it's always, forward pass thinking has always kind of been a football site for nerds. So that's kind of been the mission statement always.
So let me ask you this then, the big guy with the large shoulders, Kingpin or
yep,
whatever,
Kingpin.
Right?
Yep.
Kingpin. Who's the Kingpin of the NFL?
Huh, well, I think if you asked our mutual friend Mark Sessler, he would say Bill Belichick, probably. And then, you know, all of his cronies, the Scorpion and Green Goblin, they would all be a part of Project Pink Pony, I think. But I don't know. I think given on who you'd ask, they would either say Bill Belichick or Roger Goodell. But I would say, huh, because he's an evil figure who maybe somebody like, I don't know.
Sleeper pick?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Jerry Jones.
Huh. Yeah, that's actually, I like that answer a lot better than my answers. Yeah, let's go with Jerry Jones. He knows where the bodies are buried. He put them there. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, yeah. Alrighty, let's get into the show here. The Antonio Brown news, I talked a little bit about this at the start of the last podcast, kind of previewing AFC playoff teams. Go back, listen to that. We're going to jump in and get to all the wildcard games today, but go listen to all the teams with my friend Matthew Pierce for the AFC. That's a great episode. Go check that out. I want to ask you, what's your take on like this entire Antonio Brown situation?
Well, it's more of the same out of the Steelers locker room, and it's a lot easier to overlook when they're in the playoffs and they have a winning record, which I guess they did. What did they end up with? 8-7-1?
8-7-1, sure. Yeah. Let's call it a winning record.
Yeah, so I guess it's kind of a winning record, but it's easier to put up with when you're in the playoffs. Antonio Brown talking to the Steelers through his agent is obviously a problem. On my podcast the week before Week 17, I announced that Didi Quinkabala reported that Juju Smith-Schuster was reported to be named the team MVP and that Antonio Brown would react in such a manner as saying, no, I'm the team MVP by performing on the field and kind of going above and beyond what he normally does. He took the other route and he stopped showing up for practice and he told the team that he was going to play, blah, blah, blah. I wouldn't be surprised to see Brown and Bell leave this offseason. I wouldn't be surprised also if they stayed. There kind of isn't an answer. People that want Mike Tomlin to be fired, look, they've had three head coaches since 1969. They're not going to just, you know, can a guy. I think they're ready to lock and reload, and I think they would rather have Mike Tomlin in there to, you know, sire or whoever they want to have Ben's replacement be and build around Juju Smith, because I think he's that good of a player that you can kind of build around. And if Connor, you know, he played well in the first half of the season, if he can kind of be that guy again, I think you have a lot of pieces there to build around. So, I mean, I would love to see him in green and blue. I know that, but I don't know what the future holds for Antonio Brown.
Yeah. I would say there is a guy that we both don't like named Ben Roethlisberger who needs to be held more accountable for all of this. I feel like, I don't know. I just feel like you can blame Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell all you want, but like working with Ben Roethlisberger doesn't seem like a pleasant working environment in general.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm very vocal. Ben Roethlisberger is my least favorite player in the NFL. I don't know, because I don't think that, yeah, you know, I don't know. Brown's talent is so much superior to anybody else in the Steelers locker room that I think that he should be given these grievances and it should just kind of be swept under the rug. I know, because, like, look, I remember watching, I don't know, some documentary about the 90s Cowboys, and Jerry Jones once cut a guy because he was a kicker and he said he had asthma, so he didn't want to run laps, so he said, there's the asthma field, and he kicked him off the team. But then he said if Troy Aikman was sleeping in a meeting, he would tap him on the shoulder and say, Troy, wake up. So, look, everybody's not created equal. There's a difference between Antonio Brown and other players. So I think you need to treat him differently.
See, I would disagree with that because I think that just breeds more conflict and turmoil inside the locker room. I would say that you, at some point, talent does not pay off for constant shenanigans off of field, but you know, that's just my take.
Would you take Antonio Brown knowing he's going to continue to act like this on the Broncos? Of course you would. There's no way you would take him. So then, like, what are we talking about?
I would take him.
Yeah.
I guess that's a good point. I just feel like, I don't know. It feels like his personal problems have infected an entire locker room. Because then you have Vince Williams start, like, tweeting stuff about rats and all this stuff. And
I don't care about any of this stuff, Eric. Look, what Roethlisberger allegedly did off the field, and what Tyreek Hill has done off the field, and all this other nonsense that we put up with, what Antonio Brown's doing, he's acting out and being immature. Come on, get off it, man. I mean, who cares?
I guess, yeah, I mean, that... Bringing up those two players, Hill and Roethlisberger, that's a good point. But at the same time, I just wish that Mike Tomlin had more control over his players. I guess that's my... Maybe that's an old man yelling at cloud take, probably.
I think Mike Tomlin is sneaky, like, great at keeping all this drama together and kind of keeping the boat together. It's not going to work every year when there's this much drama going on, but I think it would be like a 2-1 situation under a different head man. So I think Tomlin actually is great at managing all these personalities, but at some point the boiling water, you know, spills over the pot.
Good analogy. All right. The other thing that's been happening a lot, coach firings, of course, those are sad. But something that's happier, coach hirings. Who do you think's going to be the first team to hire a new head coach?
It's 2019. It's a new year. And I think the best job out there is the Cleveland Browns. And that's why they'll be the first domino to fall. Because I think, you know, Dorsey's proven to put out a winning product, you know, on the roster side of things. I think people are infatuated with Baker Mayfield. And I think that they are going to be the first coach or first place to land a coach. And then all the other dominoes will follow.
I would probably have to agree. I think Green Bay may be tied for that because I could see someone jumping at the chance to get with Aaron Rodgers for the twilight of his career to see if they could get anything done. But I think that the Browns are also an excellent answer. There have been a ton of names kind of floated out for coaching vacancies this offseason, as there always are. Is there someone that people aren't talking a ton about that you think might be a head coach?
I want to challenge you on the Packers thing, because Gutekunst just came in. He's like unproven as a GM. Mike Murphy is the president there, but they don't have a true owner. I think there's like with Aaron Rodgers, I think you're like inviting a power struggle in between Rodgers, Gutekunst, and whoever the new head coach is. That's not really a situation I would rather get into. With Cleveland, Dorsey's obviously the leader there, and like you can get your team out there and go. Like I don't think the Packers, especially when you look around that division, I don't know. I don't want to like go into the division that's going to have Khalil Mack for the next 6 years.
See, I think you're not giving Gutekunst enough credit. I think the Packers' defense has been super underrated this year, and I think a large attribute to that is that Gutekunst really drafted well on defense. Jair Alexander wasn't healthy the full year, but when he played, I thought he looked pretty good. And their linebacking core before it got injured was looking pretty good. I don't know. I just feel like quarterback is such a huge draw for people. And I feel like Aaron Rodgers is a bigger draw than Baker Mayfield. But saying that out loud, I don't even know if I believe that, because Mayfield's younger and has more years left on him, I guess.
If you win 10 games at one spot, you're a hero. If you win 10 games at another spot, it's just, yeah, you have Aaron Rodgers. Like, that's what you're supposed to
do. That is a good point. Expectations, like, if you go to the playoffs somehow in Cleveland, you're a god there forever. So, yeah, I mean, I would tend to agree with you, I think. I think the Browns end up probably grabbing that first head coach, though it wouldn't shock me to see the Packers do it first. Is there anyone that hasn't really been bought up for head coaching that you might think would get a job in the NFL?
Vic Fangio, I really like what he's done. If you look at his track record with the 49ers, they really turned around once he got there. And then with the Chicago Bears, he was the holdover from the John Fox era, and he's really proven to be you know, a great commodity there. I mean, their defense is back to form with what you think when you think about Chicago football. And, man, I was skeptical of Ryan Pace going in, but that defense is loaded, and Vic Fangio knows how to pull the trigger. So if you set him up with a good GM somewhere else, I think Fangio can really help a team.
Let me challenge you on that one.
Please.
as a Broncos fan who is looking for a new head coach, Vanchio's been bought up. I don't know. Like, why do you want a defensive guy if the rest of the league is switching to, you know, these young, hot kind of offensive guys who are bringing these new kind of game plans and revolutionizing the way NFL offenses are run? Why do you want to go defense?
Well, the top three coaches in the NFL are Bill Belichick, Sean Payton, and Pete Carroll. Two or three are defensive guys. I don't think that... I
disagree with Pete Carroll, but okay.
You don't think Pete Carroll's a top three NFL coach?
No, I put Andy Reid ahead of Pete Carroll.
Really? Because, all right, I would point to their playoff records and have that be my argument for Pete Carroll. Besides that, look, I think that the players like, because I know John Harbaugh is a special teams guy. He came up through special teams, but they're winning by running the ball and playing defense. So are the Seahawks. And that's really kind of what the Patriots want to do in the postseason this year. I think that's also how the Seahawks won in 2013. I mean, zigging while everybody else is zagging isn't necessarily a bad thing. Especially if you're playing in Mile High and then, like, you have an important playoff game in December, or not playoff game, but an important late season game in December that's going to decide a playoff spot, and you can run the ball, and the other team is trying to be the Rams. I mean, we saw what the Rams did against the Bears, you know, when it was cold up in Chicago.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I would rather the Broncos go out and find an offensive guy. But that's just me. All right.
Well, who's out there then?
That is a good point. I would not. I don't think they have an interview request with him, but Bieniemy is a guy I'd like to see.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want Mike Munchak. Don't want Mike Munchak, even though he's an offensive line coach.
I can see Mike McCarthy coaching for 3 years and just doing a really bad job. Like, no offense. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not trying to upset you, but can't you see that?
Yeah. I think it's. Listen, the guy that is more defensive minded that I wouldn't mind. And I know this is probably an unpopular take. I would not mind Chuck Pagano. I feel like he kind of got an unfair shake his last year in Indy just because he didn't have luck.
And Grigson was not an NFL Grigson was not an NFL caliber GM. That whole thing in Indy was a mess. And I really think he got the best out of his players, I feel like. They really rallied for him a couple times towards the end of the season.
And everyone seems to like him. Like, he just seems like he'd be a good fit.
Yeah, I think, I like that too. But, yeah, I'm here for Chuck.
So I'm room for Pagano to get that job in Denver if we don't get... I know that we interviewed the Rams QB coach, but I'm not really sure how much I buy into that, especially because Goff kind of dipped, statistically at least, after about the halfway point of the season.
Yeah, but, doesn't it seem like whenever they are eliminated from the playoffs, like the next day the Rams will put out a statement about how he has a torn something or a broken rib or something like that? You know, because I feel like this happens all the time in the NFL where, like, we find out that Carson Wentz had a broken back since week 6. You know, can't you see something like that happening with Goff where, like, he hurt himself during that Monday night game or something?
Yeah, I could see that. I don't even think, like, the Monday night game, the strange thing was I thought he was having trouble throwing the ball on the Monday night game, especially late in the game. So maybe it came on Monday night, but I would not be shocked at all. I think that's a good point.
Yep. Thank you.
Okay. That, I believe, we'll do it for the NFL that is not in the playoffs. Let's get into the NFL that is in the playoffs and your beloved Seattle Seahawks who are in the playoffs. You never batted an eye. You always stood by the Seahawks, and credit to you. I did not think this team was going to get here, but now they have, and they look pretty dang good. Going into the playoffs, I think, what is the key matchup for you in this game?
Not to jump the gun or anything, I have your notes in front of me, but Doug Baldwin's really come on of late, and I think that Doug Baldwin kind of making a mess of the, you know, the intermediate field while Tyler Lockett goes deep is kind of where the Seahawks want to get this one going. Coming off of play action, establishing the run with NFC Player of the Month, Chris Carson. I really think that Doug Baldwin is kind of the X factor this game, though.
Yeah, I think it is the wide receivers versus the cornerbacks of the Seattle wide receivers versus the cornerbacks of Dallas. And Doug Baldwin's obviously great. Tyler Lockett's been hot here down the stretch, but I think it's going to be interesting because I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball. That, like, I know they've been great at running the ball, but I just see the Cowboys linebackers and defensive line stuffing Chris Carson. Am I completely wrong there? I just feel like the Cowboys have too much run stuffing power to be completely overpowered by the Seahawks running game.
Yeah, pretty much all of Chris Carson's rushing yards come after contact, and playoff football is different in Seattle than in regular season football. So you're going to see Russell Wilson keep it on the, you know, the read option stuff, and I think it'll be harder to stop the Seahawks running game because Russell Wilson will become more of a full-time runner.
Ooh. I don't know if that's the smartest thing for the Seahawks to do. I'd want to keep Wilson kind of upright and healthy, but yeah, he's been pretty good this year about not
he's been good every year running about as much. Like, he doesn't get hit when he runs. I mean, he'll pass up a first down to make sure he doesn't get whacked.
Yeah, and he's run himself into less sacks this year, I think. I think he's probably the third best quarterback in the playoffs, and I think he's probably the most improved of any returning quarterback to the playoffs. That's what I would say.
Puna Ford and Jarrod Reed, they're the matchup on the defense I like against the Cowboys offensive line that's kind of been beat up this year and has lost a few guys. I think Puna Ford and Reed need to, you know, get interior pressure on Dak Prescott and kind of stop Ezekiel Elliott from running through the tackles. And so I think Puna Ford's really somebody to watch in this game.
Yeah, absolutely. What is your kind of overall expectation before we pick this game? I know that you're a Seahawks fan, obviously. Where do you expect, where do you think the Seahawks go this postseason?
I've been saying it for about a month that I think the Seahawks will go as far as they can until they play the Saints. And it looks like they would have to play the Saints next weekend if they win this one. So they might be, you know, a one win, one loss kind of a thing. So it's kind of where my expectations are as soon as they run into the Saints buzzsaw. Although the Saints have looked kind of mortal lately, but I would be mildly surprised if they can get past the Saints in the Superdome.
Let's give some credit to Dallas. Dak Prescott came off probably his best game of the year. This is certainly not a overwhelming. I don't think Seattle should be the overwhelming favorite here. By any means, I don't think they are gambling wise. I haven't.
Yeah, the Cowboys were really 1 point check favorites. On those things. Cowboys were 1 point favorites last time I checked.
Yeah, the Cowboys, to me, have just as good a shot of winning this game as the Seahawks do. I'm gonna take the Seahawks though in this one. What about you?
Yeah, I think really these units are pretty equally matched up. And when the teams are this close, I look at the quarterbacks, and when I see Russell Wilson stand next to Dak Prescott, I will take Russell Wilson 10 times out of 10.
Awesome. Chicago, Philly, the next NFC games. All right, Nick Foles, I know this is crazy, but I don't think America has been respecting Nick Foles enough this week. I feel like everywhere I turn, I see people saying the Bears are just going to crush Nick Foles. I don't know. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that Nick Foles is going to keep this game pretty competitive, and I love Nick Foles in this matchup. But what do you think? Does Nick Foles still have it in him?
You know, I tweeted out this week that I trust Nick Foles more than I trust Mitch Trubisky, and nobody disagreed with me, although a lot of people were mad at me. They kept saying things like, the Bears have a better overall unit, the Bears, blah, blah, blah. But nobody said that Mitch Trubisky is more trustworthy than Nick Foles. I saw a Chiefs-Bears preseason game, you know, 3 years ago, I think, and Nick Foles was the backup. And just in practice, like before the game, watching him throw the ball was, I don't know, there's something about seeing some of these guys throw live that you can't get from tape. And then when he was in the game, he's throwing deep. I walked out of the Soldier Field that day thinking that Nick Foles was going to, you know, usurp the job from Alex Smith. That never came to pass. But we've seen through the postseason run last year that Nick Foles is nothing to trifle with. And if the Bears are overlooking Nick Foles, they're doing themselves a huge disservice.
Yeah, I would completely agree. I'd say of all the playoff quarterbacks, Mitchell Trubisky is the guy I trust the least. There's a crazy stat that Trubisky hasn't thrown for over 250 yards since November 11th.
It's not good.
Which is pretty crazy. But the way I think the Bears win this game offensively is use Jordan Howard, and I think Howard's looked excellent the last few weeks. He's finally kind of come on right when you want your running backs to become a major part of your offense. And then I think Tariq Cohen, obviously, is the other guy that can do a lot of damage to you in the passing game if they keep it kind of checked down. And I think this Eagles defensive line can be exploited with screen passes, and I don't think they have a ton at linebackers, so I think that's where I see the Bears having the major edge in this game, is the fact that I think they are going to be able to run all over Philadelphia.
You know what would mildly break my heart is that probable future Hall of Famer Jason Peters is just going to get manhandled by Khalil Mack and just make him really look like a, you know, like a second string nobody. I really feel like that could happen. And it would be a sad way if this is Peter's last year to watch him go out.
Yeah, he has not played super well down the stretch. Am I alone in thinking that?
No, he has not played that well, and Khalil Mack is a monster, so I don't know. It could be bad.
Well, let's hope it's not. I desperately want to take the Eagles here, but my gut tells me that the Bears will win this game, though I would not count the Eagles out at all, and I think to count them out is foolish. I would say that the Bears win this, but it's a pretty low-scoring, kind of weird score game. I'd say like 17-14 Bears.
Yeah, I'm with you. The you know, Vegas says that this is a 6-point win for the Bears, and I think the Bears do win, but I think it's closer than that. So Eagles to cover, Bears to win.
Awesome. All righty. Then let's move on to the AFC and Baltimore and the Chargers. So my question for you is this. Does it help or hurt the Chargers that they've seen the Ravens in the last 3 weeks?
I think it hurts the Chargers because you can't go in saying, like, you know, I don't know, because I feel like that was a pretty bad beating. I know the scoreboard doesn't necessarily say that, but that was a pretty, like, bad beat by the Chargers. The Chargers really got manhandled by the Ravens, I feel like. So I feel like that sticks with you, right? I don't feel like that's a good thing for the Chargers. And they did it in their home,
disagree.
And now they have to go up to Baltimore where it's gonna be cold, and like the cold, you know, what does the cold help? Your run game and defense, so it's gonna, you know, favor Baltimore more, who's the better defense and has the better run game.
While that's a good point, I think I'd still disagree, just because I think that LA has seen this unique offense now, and I think they might be able to plan for it and figure out a way to stop it. I don't know. I feel like the Chargers are kind of being discounted in this game, and I don't want to see them discounted that much because I've been cheering for them for a while now. But it just feels like they got the worst possible playoff matchup, and I don't know. I feel like seeing a unique offense that is something the NFL has never really experienced before, two times in the span of a month, favors the defense. I just want to believe that.
Yeah, Me too. I want to see Philip Rivers hoist the Lombardi before he retires, because I don't know, I like Philip Rivers, but man, I don't know. Also, this is a revenge game for Eric Weddle. Got to keep that on account. And these corners are just great. So I feel like everything that the Chargers are good at on offense, the Ravens serve up a good counter punch on defense. I mean, I don't know, Humphreys and Smith. I don't know, man. They're really good at what they do. And CJ Mosley has maybe had a quieter year, but I still believe in him and him having a big performance when the lights shine their brightest.
Absolutely. I'm going to take the Chargers in this game, though I would not be shocked at all if the Ravens won. Who do you have?
I have the Ravens, and can I tell you, this is what I'm saying is my Super Bowl pick. Are you ready for this?
Wow.
Is the Ravens going against the Seahawks. Everybody's pissed, except for old Johnders.
Okay.
This Super Bowl's for the birds.
My question for you, I buy the Seahawks. I buy the Seahawks so much, and I would... That's not my Super Bowl pick. My personal Super Bowl pick is I think the Colts and the Rams are going to play, and I think the Rams are going to take care of business. But I want to know, I don't care that you have the Seahawks in the Super Bowl. I think that's completely fair. Why do you have so much faith in Lamar Jackson? I know he's thrown the ball better in the last few weeks, but I just feel like someone's going to be able to come up with a game plan that shuts his legs down.
Yeah, the problem is that Lamar Jackson forces NFL defenses to play 11 on 11 instead of 11 on 10. So that's why I like Baltimore's offense. Also, Gus Edwards has been running like a madman the past few weeks. And I kind of feel like, Gus Edwards was on the field when they played last time. But that's kind of his coming out party, I feel like, was the Chargers game with Gus Edwards. So I don't know. I like when teams play 11 on 11 football, opposed to 11 on 10.
Absolutely. All right, last game, and we will get out of this here pretty quick. I love when we get nice, short, concise episodes. I think we'll get out of here under 40 minutes. Colts, Texans. I think this is a huge game. I think fortune favors Andrew Luck. And I have the Colts in this game, and I feel like a lot of people have the Colts in this game, so I'm going to make you play devil's advocate. Why will Houston win this game?
Houston will win because Andrew Luck has gone on this great streak playing his best football in the NFL because of one reason. He's been clean. He hasn't been hit. And in this game, you're going to go against J.J. Watt, one of the absolute best, future Hall of Famer, Jadeveon Clowney, and Whitney Mercilus. Also, we haven't had a breakout game from the ultimate center fielder in the NFL, Tyrann Mathieu, in his Texans career. This is going to be the Tyrann Mathieu game playing center field. We know that once Andrew Luck gets pressured, he loves throwing up those 50-50 balls where the defense can come away with it. And I also think that this is going to be a little Deshaun Watson come out party. We're going to see everything he can do. Remember that rookie season he had when he was thrown off platform and everything? Also, Hopkins literally doesn't drop any passes. He has dropped zero balls this year, and that will continue.
Wow. Yeah, that's a convincing argument. I do love Deshaun Watson. I think he's flown way under the radar this year. He's played very well. He's limited his turnovers. And I would not be shocked at all if the Houston Texans win this game. I think if they do win it, they'll have to get Lamar Miller going. He's been running well the last few weeks, but I feel like if you can get Lamar Miller going, then this Colts defense, which is also potent, this is the Houston Texans are not the only great defense in this game, but I feel like if you can get Lamar Miller going, then the Texans win this. And I honestly think, I know it's cliche, but when Marlon Mack is running great, the Colts are undefeated. They are awesome when Marlon Mack is looking awesome.
You know, I think whoever guy. You know that.
I love Marlon Mack too. I really love watching Marlon Mack. I think whoever runs the ball better in this game wins it. I think it's way lower scoring than people think too. I think a lot of people see this being like a in the 30s. I think it's going to be 28 to 24-ish. And
well, who
I
do
think
you trust
I'll
on
take...
the Colts defense? I mean, other than Leonard, is it Malik Hooker? Who do you trust?
I'll be honest. I just trust the unit, if that makes sense.
I guess so, but outside of Leonard, I really don't have great faith in any of these players. I mean, Gethers has played all right. Hooker's played all right. But I don't know, man. I don't trust these cornerbacks. I don't think they're going to be able to win against Hopkins. And I, you know...
Well, Hopkins is the only guy they have. That's
the
other thing that I don't like about the Texans is they lost Demaryius Thomas, and their wide receiving core is so thin right now.
Yeah, Demaryius Thomas wasn't doing anything for him anyways, though. I mean, I would be more upset about them losing Will Fuller back when.
They lost Will Fuller.
Yeah.
All right. Who you got in this game? I'm going to take the Colts, but that just because I remember Andrew Luck from the playoffs, and I know that Andrew Luck is undefeated in the playoffs unless, well, that's a lie. He lost to Baltimore one time. He only has one loss to a team that's not named New England in the playoffs, and I think he's going to keep it that way, and I think the Colts win this game.
I'm trying to remember. I did this with Mark Istook on my podcast. Go back and listen to that on Forecast Thinking Out Your Content. But can't remember who I picked, but I think... I don't know. I want to take the Texans now, so hopefully all my picks line up, and I took the Texans then.
Awesome. Well, Jonders, why don't you plug yourself really quick, and we'll get out of here.
At Jonders FBT on Twitter. Make sure you follow Forward Pass Thinking Audio Content on Apple Podcasts, and keep an eye out for my comedy podcast, I Owe You an Interview.
Absolutely. I noticed that one didn't come out this week. I'm very excited for next week's show, and it was always great to have you on, my man.
Yep. Hey, thanks for having me.
Okay, guys, we will be back on actually next Friday to preview the divisional round and kind of recap the wild card round. All right, thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next time. Peace out. Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.